scripture is from Hebrews 12:15-29, and it's on page 1718 in your pew Bibles. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we, if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I shall shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire.
Thank you, Laura. I'm not using it. I got my boots on. I don't need that. Morning again, everybody. I love how we see this group getting involved in the community. You know, churches are not supposed to be about the churches. God didn't create the church to bless the church so much. He created the church to bless others. And it is so great to see us getting involved that way. You know, with the bazaar and Thanksgiving and reaching out through all these different ministries. But I did find out something, though. Speaking about being involved in the community, if you're fairly new here, this church gets involved at the county fair, and we park cars. And we wave them all in, and they compensate us really pretty well, and it's kind of fun. It's a great bonding experience. But part of that team is we get brightly colored T-shirts because we don't want to get run over. Well, Doug was gone the last couple of days. I was off doing some chaplain training for the fire department. I'm gone 2 days, and I come back, and I found out they've decided on the color of the shirts.
Yes! Yes!
What color are they, Gene?
Neon pink.
Neon pink. Fluorescent pink. Real men don't admit that. They don't. We're going to look like a bunch of fishing lures running around out there.
You say it like it's a bad thing.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to it, Laura. No, that will be fun, and I don't have a vote in any of that, so I will wear that, but I won't like it.
And
wine. Now, believe it or not, I have been waiting for this all week. I don't know about you guys, but I really look forward to my Sundays here, and I always feel blessed that I get the chance to come up here, and I can look out across my brothers and sisters, and I know many of you are facing some of your own challenges, and I know all of you are flawed and imperfect, but still you're trying to do your best. But I just love looking out on that because I know I fit right in. We don't try to be perfect or polished here, but we do try to be genuine and real. And I think this church is really, really good about that. You know, I'll tell you, again, I'm not perfect, but I'll do my best to be honest with you and be genuine with you. And I don't have all the answers, but I have faith in the one who does have all the answers. I just think it's so great that even when we fall short, we can come together and we can find that love and that support and see that love that covers the multitude of sins. And that's what we need here. I truly pray that is something that you experience too as part of this church family. Sundays aren't showtime here. It's definitely not impress others time or be in denial time. It's family time. And so it's really nice to have brothers and sisters who are just focused on Christ and not ourselves to see us come together to celebrate our Abba Father, and that's pretty cool. Amen. I've been waiting for this all week. Speaking of family, I mentioned it in Pine Grove. I really tried hard to come up with some Thanksgiving dad jokes. And if you did any research or you've looked into any of that stuff, they are all terrible. I don't think there exists a decent dad joke on Thanksgiving out there. I was trying on Linda. I was experimenting. I'd get run by all these jokes by her over and over, Thanksgiving dad jokes. And finally, she had enough. She says, "You got to stop with the Thanksgiving jokes." And I said, "Hey, I can't just quit cold turkey." So, yeah. Did you hear what the turkey said to the hunter on Thanksgiving? Quack, 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 quack. Yeah. I told you they were lame. They're bad. The other day I was actually looking for a turkey there at the freezer at Safeway. And the worker came by and I said, "Hey, do these frozen turkeys get any bigger?" And he goes, "No, those are dead." All right, sorry. They're bad. Take 2 days off, you come back, that's what you get. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do gather up and we want to have fun in you today. We want to enjoy being in the presence, being in your holy presence, Lord, and being wrapped up in your word and your principles and your love. And so, God, as we dive in today, I just pray that you open our eyes and you fill us with your wisdom and discernment, so that we may take your commands and take your walk with us out into our daily lives. Lead us into this today, Lord. We ask in your name, move in power, God. Amen. Thanksgiving again this week. And I know that's no surprise to you guys when I say that, and that giving thanks. And part of Thanksgiving, what we do, and I'm sure almost all of you practice, is you get that chance, hopefully, to gather up with some family and some friends and some people that you love, and you sit around the table, and then often that's when you kind of take turns telling each other the reason that you're giving thanks. "I am thankful for," and then we express that out loud to one another. You know, "I'm thankful for my family," or "I am thankful for the roof that's over my head." Pretty sure every one of us is going to say, "I'm thankful for all of this food," right? And all of these are beautiful, great things, and they're wonderful things, and they're things that we should always praise God for and give him thanks. We thank him for all the blessings that he pours out on us while we are living in this fallen world, for sure. And as his adopted sons and daughters, that should be our natural, heartfelt response. We know where all the good things come from. They come from our God. 1 Thessalonians 5, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Give thanks in all circumstances. Psalm 119, this is verse 62. "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This should be our new nature as these new creations in Jesus Christ. We praise God. We give him thanks at all times. We praise him when the seas are calm and our stress levels are low and we don't have things to worry about in our lives. But folks, we also praise him and we give him thanks when the storm rages, because it's during the storm that we learn to be more reliant on him, that our faith grows in him. We give thanks to him. We have these hearts of gratitude no matter what is going on in our lives. Give thanks to God, everybody say it, in all circumstances. That's what we do. And rough seas are okay. Rough seas make stronger sailors. And so attitudinally here, we should always have these hearts that are filled with gratitude for our loving Heavenly Father. But what was really kind of laid onto my heart this week was to recognize and to give thanks for that one true blessing, that eternal gift that we all share as believers. And this is in your notes. Hopefully we'll get that going. Put the little dauber in there, Linda. Give thanks for the little dauber even. This is a rough sea. We're getting over it. Are we there? Hit the slide, Linda. If I got to start dancing, you guys are in trouble. There. Okay, we got it. Let's go back to the beginning. Did you hear what the turkey said to the hunter? Yeah. Thanks for playing. No, we praise God. We give him these thanks during the calm. We give him the praise and the thanks during the storms as well. But what we should truly be thanking him about is beyond this world. We need to be giving God thanks for this eternal gift and this eternal blessing of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. This is what lies ahead for those who call Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. A kingdom that cannot be shaken. And folks, there's not enough words to describe just how glorious that is. And I mentioned, and we talked about the other things that we're all going to give praise and we're going to give thanks for when we sit around the table this Thursday. But those things are temporal and they're perishable. And oftentimes those things are unreliable. You know, we say to God, thank you for my family. Well, you know, families are made up with people. And people are not perfect. And people sometimes can be hurtful. And people sometimes can be selfish. Not everybody had a great family blessing. Sometimes families can be a drain and they can break apart. We say, thank you, God, for the roof over our heads. But, you know, homes can be lost or destroyed. And people can fall on hard times, and before you know it, they don't have that security of shelter. They can find themselves homeless and without that hope. And we say, God, thank you for the food. Thank you for the blessings of this. And we always give praise for that nourishment. But you know, food, just like everything else, is perishable. And you can take food to the extremes. And food itself can become a source of addiction. And it can be used as a tool for self-hate. Boy, I'm really being happy up here today, right? Sorry to poo-poo on your party here. Folks, those are great blessings, but what I really want to do is be realistic about the thanks that we are giving for the temporal blessings of this world, for the provision of this world. Thank you, God, but they are not much when we compare them to the thanks that we should be giving for the eternal riches that he pours out on us. Those things that truly, really show God's love for us. Those things that when we see them and understand and what he has offered to us through his grace and through his mercy, what he's given us, he's offered us, is those are the things when we realize that, that's what should drive us to our knees in thanksgiving. Not just the extra drumstick or the whipped cream on the pie. Here's kind of what I mean by that. Everybody got your Bibles, hopefully, right? If you didn't bring your Bible, grab one out of the pews. Psalm 73. See, you were cheating, right? You thought you were going to be ahead of me. Psalm 73. That's almost halfway through your Bible there. You'll find that. The songs, Psalm 73. While you're turning there, I'll tell you, this is a song. And it's written by one of King David's Levitical choir leaders, and his name is Asaph. And Asaph is this guy, he writes this because he has reached this place where he's not feeling the love of God. Things aren't going too smoothly for him. It's getting really hard for him to give thanks. And it's getting hard because he's suffering. He is a faithful servant of God. He is a Levitical choir leader. His job is to praise God all the time, but he's not feeling the love. He's struggling. And to make things worse, he can look out on his culture and he sees the wicked prospering. Sound familiar? He sees the evil who are doing well. They're making money. They're physically healthy. They seem to be skating through life and they don't have troubles and they're not feeling suffering or strife. Psalm 73. Everybody there? Give me a gobble gobble if you're there. You're too easy. Psalm 73. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They're free from common human burdens. They're not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace, and they clothe themselves with violence. And from their callous hearts comes iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff and speak with malice, with arrogance. They threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. Popularity, notoriety. They say, how would God know? Does the Most High know anything? This is what the wicked are like. Always free of care, and they go on amassing wealth. Sure, he talks about himself now. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence, and all day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. Asaph is, he's looking at what this world calls blessings. The money and the being healthy and the stature in society and power. And he looks out on that while he is suffering as somebody who's trying to be a righteous man. And he has this what the heck kind of moment. You know, what the heck, God? How come the wicked are out there prospering and the righteous are going without? And how come those who are evil are carefree and they're amassing wealth and they're getting popular, but the holy struggle to get by and they suffer? You ever wonder that yourself? You know, hey, God, why don't you punish the wicked? Why don't you bless those who are trying to be righteous? But then Asaph, he kind of figures it out, and he has this epiphany. Look at verse 15 here, Psalm 73, verse 15. If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply. Until I entered the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They are like a dream when one awakes. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. But then he wakes up, verse 23. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will take me into glory. Take me where? Into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You will destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge, and I will tell others of your deeds. I will praise you and give you thanks, God, even in the storms. You know, we ask God, why don't you punish the wicked and why don't you bless the righteous? And God answers us, I do. I do. He said, you are simply looking at the perishable and the temporary things of this world. You are not looking at the eternal and not looking at the real blessing and not looking at the real gift and the real reason to give thanks. That eternal reward. And Asaph, he entered the sanctuary of God and he understood this. You know, so often for us, when we think blessing, we think what we get out of this world. You get money or no heartaches or good relationships, all those things of this world. We think that's what the true blessing is of God. And if we live holy and we try to be righteous and we don't sin, well, God will reward us then. But boy, when we sin, he's going to punish us. And sometimes that's true. But folks, just because you have fallen on hard times doesn't mean it's because you're unrighteous. That's a false doctrine. That's called the prosperity gospel. God only blesses those who are trying, and he punishes those who are wicked and evil and don't deserve it. We all know in this world good things happen to bad people. And it has nothing to do with your standing with God if you are someone who has given your heart to him and bad things happen. But it just happens to do with living in a fallen world, a world that has yet to be recreated. And Asaph figured that out. The real blessing isn't here. The real blessing is in what comes next. But when we do get blessed here, when God does provide for us, and when he gives us that provision and the blessings of families and of good home lives and of hot meals and good friends, we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all these things for sure. But folks, the real reason to give thanksgiving is for something that's greater. It's for something that is much more valuable. Let's go ahead and turn your Bibles back over to Hebrews now. Hebrews chapter 12. We're actually going to start at verse 18, Hebrews 12:18. While you're turning there, I'll set this up for you a little bit. The writer of Hebrews, he's trying to encourage those in the faith by reminding them about this glorious gift that God has given us, our real reason to give him thanks, a gift that's made available through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, Asaph and a lot of the others in the Old Testament, they had God revealed to them at Mount Sinai through the giving of the law. God was revealed his character, who he is, through the law. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with the story or not. You've probably seen Charlton Heston in the movie anyway, right? Ten Commandments. So Charlton Heston is at Mount Sinai, Moses. And that's that time when the cloud, the presence of God, covers up the mountain, and when God speaks, the earth shakes, and it is frightening. The whole earth shakes when he starts talking about that, and people are terrified about God's might and his power and his holiness. It's beyond anything that they could comprehend. And so as we go through this scripture, we're going to hear about two mountains, and the first one is going to be about that first time God shook the earth. God spoke, and it terrified everybody. But then listen close. There's another mountain that we have coming. Verse 18 here. Give me an amen if you're there. Amen. Sorry, I almost missed that. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. Now listen to the mountain that we have promised to us. It's written in past tense as if we're there. This is what we have coming with the establishment of the new kingdom. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. This is part of the blessing. If you're a note-taking type, underline that in your Bible there, the heavenly Jerusalem. And if you got room in your margin, you can write Revelation 21, verse 9. 21, verse 9, that tells you all about the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. Underline that. Angels in joyful assembly. You have come to the church of the firstborn. That's God's elect, his chosen people, those who have said yes to Jesus Christ. The firstborn whose names are written in heaven. Underline that. Church of the firstborn. You have come to God, the judge of all. Also worth underlining. Our glorious, just, righteous judge, God. To the spirits of the righteous made perfect, that's your brothers and sisters. And finally, you can underline to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Folks, the new mountain, the new kingdom, the gift that God has given us includes the new creation. It includes being part of God's chosen, his holy nation, God's elect. You're going to be there with brothers and sisters, thousands upon thousands of angels singing in the presence of your holy and righteous God, holding hands with your brothers and sisters, being made perfect. And then you're going to have your Savior. He's going to wrap his arms around you and say, "Welcome home." Sound like a place you want to be? I want to be there. I tell you, I crave that and value that beyond anything, any blessing that I can have in this world. Amen? And Jesus Christ, he makes this available to everybody, but only those who call on him as Lord and Savior will receive it. And that's where we get into the warning from our scripture today. Look at verse 25 here. We'll take our time and explain some of this. "See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned him on the earth," warned them on earth, that's Mount Sinai, "how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven?" The one who warns us from heaven is Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, speaking the very words of God. "At that time," Sinai, "his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, 'Once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens.'" And you can write a note next to heavens there. Another way to say that is realms, the realms of creation. The words "once more" indicate that the removing of what can be shaken, that is created things, that's what will be removed, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Now, some of you have read 2 Corinthians, and there's kind of this weird part where Paul starts talking about he was taken in spirit up to the third heaven. And I kind of went, man, I wonder what Paul was smoking at that time. But what he's referring to, when you think about the realms, the heavens as they're referred to in Scripture, the different realms of creation, the first heaven is this earth. The first heaven is the earth and its atmosphere. The second heaven is what we call our outer space, the planets, the solar systems. But then that third heaven is the spiritual heaven, the kingdom of God, the third heaven that will be united, that will take over heaven number one and heaven number two when Jesus Christ returns. All will be remade new then. So verse 28, "Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." That pureness, that righteousness, the consuming fire. Now, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ, he took the terror of Mount Sinai and he turned it into joy for all humanity. You know, you think you need a reason to be thankful through Jesus Christ. Now you inherit this new creation. You inherit this new kingdom. You've got this place now where you've got this unshakable, unbreakable relationship with your Creator. A place where angels and brothers and sisters are gathered to welcome you into eternity. It's, again, that is so wonderful. And it's something that is worth our praise for him who is worthy. We receive that eternal kingdom of God. And it's just so awesome that he has chosen us to be his adopted sons and daughters. And knowing that, maybe we ought to give thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ who spilled his blood for us. You know, maybe we ought to give thanks to our God who has made salvation possible for us. Maybe we ought to give thanks to the Holy Spirit who guides us and grows us and leads us into righteousness. And maybe we ought to, in whatever you do in word or deed, you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Maybe we ought to do those. Amen? That's a lot of we oughtas. We oughta, we oughta, we oughta. I know that, but folks, what it really comes down to is simply giving thanks to our Lord and our God. And that's more than just vocalizing it in words through prayer. It's actually living a life of thanks. Living a life of thanks by following his commands and by doing his will and by being that example of your faith. You know, I mentioned it this morning about Christianity. If Christianity was a crime and people looked in on your lives, would there be enough evidence to convict you? It's more than talk. It's walking the walk. You know, what should we be doing? Turn on over to 2 Peter chapter 3. It's just to the right, just a little bit. You're in Hebrews. Go past James. 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3. A lot of reading out of the Bible today, but that's actually okay. If you didn't notice, we're a church. We preach out of the Bible here, right? The principles, the messages, all that should be coming from here, not coming from my scrambled brains. 2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to start at verse 8. God has made available this eternal kingdom to us. And so the question that we ask then is, what would we be doing, knowing that Jesus Christ will someday come to shake not only the earth, but the heavens as well? We know this is coming. What do we do? Look at verse 8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Now, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. Live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Folks, if you're a believer, you know this is coming. Since everything's going to be destroyed in this way and remade in this way, where the shaken will be made over and replaced with that which cannot be shaken, since you know that, you know, what kind of person ought you to be? Someone who is living a holy and a godly life. You give thanks to God by more than just words, but also in the way you conduct yourself while you're still strapped to this fallen planet. You know, are you thankful for the promises of God? Well, then show it. You know, are you thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ? Well, let me see it in your actions. Are you thankful for your salvation? Then share it. You know, are you thankful for this eternal kingdom that can't be shaken? Well, then live for those heavenly rewards and not the worldly. God wants to hear you voice your gratitude to him, but what he really, really desires is seeing it lived out in your daily life. This Thursday, I truly pray that you've got that opportunity to share in Thanksgiving with those that you love. And if you don't have plans, come by here at 2 o'clock, and we're going to love on each other at that time as well. But when that opportunity comes around to give thanks, and you're praising God and you're giving him thanks for your family and thanks for the food and thanks for the friends and the church family, as you're thanking him for all the blessings of this world, please remember to give him thanks for the greatest gifts of all. You know, that gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. The gift of a God who is the strength of your heart and your portion forever. And the gift of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. These are truly the most treasured gifts of all. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, there are no words to say thank you for the way that you bless us. And Lord, we know in this world we're going to experience issues, we're going to have heartaches, we're going to have sorrows, but God, we praise you and we thank you anyway, because you are the one who gives us the faith and the hope to carry us through. So God, as we praise you during this lifetime, I pray that you give us eyes to see where the real reward lies. And that is in the salvation you've given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. That is in the kingdom that awaits us, one where there is no more evil or mourning or crying or death, but Lord, we get to walk hand in hand with you and sing your praises each and every day. Lord, we pray you speed that coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, folks, if you've never done that, embarrass you or ask you to come forward or raise your hand up, but please don't wait. I think that day's coming sooner than later. Please don't wait. Come see me after the service today, and I'd be happy to pray with you about it. For now, let's stand one more time. We'll go to God in song and praise.